My husband Carl shakes hands with other doctors, a carousel of orthopedic surgeons in cummerbunds. I read his lips over the brass band. How's the champagne, Ed? Since he grayed, Carl wears a light beard that, for the convention, he trimmed to nothing. The ballroom they rented has long windows that run along Boston's waterfront. Sapphire table settings burn in their reflections. The food looks delicious. Rainbows of heirloom carrots, Vermont white cheddar in the macaroni. Some complement the main course, baked cod drizzled with olive oil. My eyes are on the chocolate cherries, unless Carl is right and they're soaked in brandy. At some dramatic point in the evening, balloons will drop from nets. A banner sags, prematurely revealing its last line, celebrating 30 years. 30 years. How nice. Though I try not to think that far back. I miss something, another joke. Everyone's covering Merlot-soaked teeth, and I wonder if they're laughing at me. Is it my dress? I didn't know if I should wear white like the other wives. I redirect the conversation from my choice of a navy blue one shoulder, which I now see leaves me exposed, and ask so many questions about the latest in joint repair that I get lightheaded. The chandelier spins. Double zeros hit the roulette table. A break, watching the ocean, then I'm back, resuming my duties as a spouse, suppressing a yawn for an older man my husband desperately wants to impress. A board member who could recommend Carl as the next director of clinical apps. I'm thinking about moving up, our careers. I'm not thinking dark thoughts like people are laughing or staring at me. Not even when someone taps me on the shoulder. Are you Daphne? Asks a young man, a member of the waitstaff. No one should know me here. I'm an ornament. Yet something's familiar about the young man's blue eyes. Heat trickles down my neck as I try to name the sensation in my stomach. And you are? I say. Gerard, he says. The glasses on his platter sway with caffeinated amber. Gerard Gedney, you remember? I gag on my ginger ale. My gosh, I do, I say. Gerard, wow! 30 years ago, when this conversation was still in its planning stages, Gerard Gedney was the little boy who had to stay in his room for almost his entire childhood. Beginning of every school year, each class made Get Well Soon cards and mailed them to his house. We moved before I knew what happened to Gerard. But with everything else, I never thought of him until now. All the growing up he must have done, despite the odds, and now, at least, he got out, got away. I beat the leukemia, he says. I'm so glad for you, Gerard. If that's the appropriate response. The awkwardness that defined my childhood creeps over me. Of all the people to bump into, it has to be David Gedney's brother. David, the boy never found. My eyes jump from Gerard to the other waitstaff. They wear pleated dress pants. Gerard's in a t-shirt, bow tie, and black jeans. I don't really work here, Daphne, says Gerard, sliding the platter onto a table. I've been looking for you for a while. The centerpiece topples, glass shatters, an old woman holds her throat. Gerard, I say. My knees weak. I understand you're upset about David. Can we please not do this here? Gerard wouldn't be the first to unload on what awful people we were. But to hear family gossip aired tonight in front of my husband and his colleagues, I can't even imagine what Carl would think. I'm not here about my brother, says Gerard. I'm here about yours. His words twist. Paul, I say. What about him? I'm so sorry, says a waiter, bumping me. Another kneels to pick up green chunks of the vase. When I find Gerard again, he's at the service exit, waiting for me to follow.